All right. Hello, everyone. I'm here with Clint Henson, and we're going to talk about business ideas and his journey to business. So, for one thing, I'm going to ask you is, how'd you begin yours? And I know you, the kind of stuff you do is, can you explain what kind of stuff you do?
So we have a company. We do land surveying.
Yes, sir.
So we do basically you go out and do a lot of mapping and surveying for people's property boundaries and things too. So engineers can design projects, and then we go out and lay out different designs and stuff for housing or for roadway improvements, that kind of stuff, so that the builders and stuff can build to that.
Yes, sir. And now how do you communicate with those people that you're going to work with or work for?
Like as far as marketing our business?
Yes, sir. Or indeed.
Most of the time, most business is just word of mouth. So we don't have to really go chase a lot of work because it's the market here in Boise is just so busy that everybody that needs land surveying services basically comes to us and they'll tell us, we have this project. Would you guys, you know, like to do the surveying on it for us? And then we'll put together the proposal and and tell them, yeah, this we can do it for this. And
wow. And do you work with like big companies as well or just like housing?
Kind of everybody. We do a lot for a lot of big developers here in the Valley. And some bigger companies too, and we do a lot with the counties and cities, like Ada County Highway District and Idaho Transportation Department we work with, so kind of a big array of a lot of different,
Right on. And what's your, like, what's your position within that?
I'm the president.
President?
Yeah.
So it was your idea without, like, was it
your
idea?
Yeah, and I have a partner that we're 50-50 partners. We started it back in 2004. I just always kind of wanted to have my own business.
Yes, sir.
And working for another civil engineering company, they just didn't really treat us very good.
Yes, sir.
And so I just thought, and after I got licensed, I'm like, okay, we just got to go on our own. So we just decided to start our own company and see what we could do.
So you mentioned you worked with a civil engineering company.
Yes.
Before you did, what was it like working for them? Like, what were the things that you had to do and stuff?
I was basically in charge of the surveying for the field crew, so we were outside a lot and doing all the outside work for surveying, as far as we would be setting the property pins or the construction staking, managing the data for day-to-day, and bringing it into the other licensed surveyor, then he would do all the office stuff and process and then give it back to us, and we would load it up into the data collectors and go out and do everything in the field with that. So.
Okay, and now the business that you work for right now, was it something similar to where you were with the civil engineering job company?
Yes. Yeah.
Really? How so?
Yeah, it's an extension of that. They had civil engineering and land surveying in one company, and we basically took the land surveying portion of that and started our own company with just land surveying. So we subcontract with a lot of civil engineering companies that don't have in-house surveying because it's really pretty expensive with the equipment and keeping up with technology to just do surveying. To do surveying. So a lot of civil engineering companies opt to not have that because they don't want that expense. So we can focus just on surveying and subcontract to a lot of different companies that way that don't have that in-house services and don't want that expense. So that way we can have a broad spectrum of clients and not just focus on one part of land surveying, but a broad base of different surveying.
Yes, sir.
Not activities, but different surveying disciplines to offer.
Now, how would you describe surveying?
That's a hard one because I didn't even know what surveying was before I kind of fell into it. But
yes, sir.
It's basically you are mapping out like a project. Like if somebody wanted to develop a 40-acre property,
yes, sir.
Surveyors would be one of the first ones to go out and you would establish their property boundary and where the property boundary was. And that's determined on, like most, especially here in Idaho, that's all broken down to mile sections and then half mile sections, smaller pieces, based off different survey monumentations that's been set through since like the 1880s when they first subdivided all the property to deed it to people.
Yes, sir.
So we go off of those monuments, determine the property boundary, and then you go out and basically we're measuring everything on the ground, where any ditches are, where any utilities are, where the road is, and then we'll actually survey the property too as far as a grid so we can build a 3D model in the computer that represents the ground out there that then the engineers can design to with that 3D model in AutoCAD or some CAD program and overlay their design onto that.
Yes, sir.
And then they'll give their design to us, and then we'll go out and lay out their design into that same field so they can construct what's been designed. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir. Kind of. It was a lot of information.
No.
It's good. It's good stuff. And do you have people that work for you as well?
Or yeah.
How many, like, what are your employees?
There's me and my partner, and then there's six other guys that work there now, and then I have a gal that comes and does bookkeeping twice a month.
Right on.
So, yeah. Okay. It works out pretty good.
And what was your, what would you say, what is a competition like for, you know, what you guys are doing right now?
There's a lot of different companies out there that offer surveying as well, but it's kind of it's a profession that there's a lot of older people that are licensed in surveying, then they're kind of starting to retire, and there's not a lot of younger kids going into surveying.
Yes, sir.
So it's a field that's getting more and more in demand all the time as the older ones retire, and there's not as many licensed ones to keep carrying on.
Yes, sir.
So there's less licensed people to manage all the other activities that, you know, require the crews and different stuff and the field technicians and stuff. Because a lot of people, I mean, like most of our guys that work for us just come out of high school or, you know, don't even have much really college experience. They just want to survey. And it's a good job to jump into, but you reach a certain level, you can't go any further until you have an education.
Right.
I mean, none of them can ever get licensed because they haven't gotten the education to get licensed as a surveyor. So they can always work under a licensed surveyor, but not be licensed like on their own, unless they wanted to go back and get a degree. So that's what makes it tough, is the more the people retire and not people getting licensed, then it's, you know, getting harder and harder to find companies that have licensed surveyors on hand as much as they need to.
And what kind of degrees would those people have to get in order for them to get licensed?
Right now in Idaho, it requires a bachelor degree.
Yes, sir. In any field? Or?
Yeah, it can be any field. We have to have a certain amount of credits in surveying requirement classes.
Yes, sir.
And some of those are math classes. Others are like civil engineering classes. And others are like actual surveying courses too.
Yes, sir.
So it's a broad base of different courses that they require. And Idaho State University has a good program.
Yes, sir.
For surveying now.
Okay, so we know that you started in 2004. Mm-hmm. Before that, talk about your journey. Like, what was it like? Like, what got you to get into this idea? And I know you mentioned that you were treated, when you worked for a different company, you were kind of treated like, I guess it wasn't for you.
Right.
What else kind of like motivated you to get into starting your own business?
Well, to start to get into surveying, I kind of just fell into it because I really liked like architecture and I wanted to be an architect for a long time. But then I just got burnt out with school and didn't want to go to school that long. And I went and talked to a counselor and he said, well, you want to try civil engineering then because they do drafting and then you're out in the field doing different stuff and it kind of combines a lot of different disciplines. And I took this program at Idaho State that was for civil engineering technology. It was at their VOTech. It was just a 2-year program. Mm-hmm. And a lot of what they concentrated on was the surveying portion and teaching you how to survey and use the instruments and read everything and, you know, do the computations.
Yes, sir.
And then when I graduated, I started working for this company because they had civil engineering and surveying. And that was my ultimate goal, is to be licensed as a civil engineer.
Yes, sir.
And then more I got working as just in their surveying, I kind of got pushed that direction. And I could get licensed at that time without a 4-year degree because I hadn't changed the law yet. Mm-hmm. You could get, with a 2-year degree, you could get licensed just with another 6 years of experience.
Yes, sir.
So I worked and got that experience and just got licensed as a surveyor because that was the better path for me then. Mm-hmm. And then after I got licensed, nothing really changed for me at that other job. They just kind of kept me in the same position and nothing. I never really advanced, or they never gave me any more opportunities for advancement. I was kind of reached. They didn't need a licensed surveyor. They needed just a field technician, basically. So I was either going to stay basically as a field technician but licensed and kind of bottom out there, or I had to go somewhere else. And I thought, well, if I have to go somewhere else, I might as well just try it out on my own.
Yes, sir.
And I talked to the guy I was working with, and we kind of came up with a plan. I was just like, you know, you can come with me. We can start it on our own and split it, because he wasn't licensed yet.
Right.
And we can still split 50-50 because you're taking a big risk too. Or you can stay here or whatever, but I'm out. I'm going to go start this. So he decided to come with me, and we started out in 2004. And like we said, this guy, or the company, you know, we kind of put him in a hard spot because we were the only two guys that they had that were out in the field.
Yes, sir.
And so we, you know, we try to be equitable and say, you know, we'll work for you guys at a really cheap rate so it doesn't put you in a tough position or your clients. We're not trying to do that to you, but you know, we just feel like we want to go out on our own. They were super mad and didn't want to work with us at first, and they tried to hire some guys to do field or surveying for them, and it didn't work out. And so they finally called us and said, okay, we'll subcontract to you for some of these jobs. And we're doing a lot of their work, but then we're busy or started getting busy with our own clients and that's different right. stuff, because we really hit the pavement hard, just approaching all the different engineering companies and developers and stuff, and just saying, hey, give us a shot. We're a new surveying company and just trying to put ourselves out there.
Yes, sir.
Maybe super nervous, way out of our comfort zones. But then we started getting so busy with other stuff, and then the old company, you know, we just couldn't do their stuff anymore because we're so busy, and they didn't want to wait. They always wanted us to do their stuff right then, and we're like, you're going to have to be on the same schedule as other clients. I mean, this is like 6 months later. They were still trying to use us, and they just eventually had to get their own in-house again eventually.
Yes, sir.
But yeah, it's, I mean, the economy was so good, and we just hit the ground running, really. For the first couple months, it was hard because we didn't, you know, we didn't have a lot of, well, any clients at first. So we're just, we put together pamphlets about, you know, who we were and
yes, sir.
Surveying stuff, and just would give those to people when we'd visit them and try to go interview with them. And I remember my first interview, sitting down with the company, I was sweating profusely because I was so nervous to talking to these guys. And they didn't even use us. It was probably 2012 when they finally gave us a chance. I mean, we were talking like 6 or 8 years later. And they finally called us up because they were sick of their other surveyor company that they were subbing out to. And they gave us a chance. And now they're one of our best clients that we work for.
Wow.
But they were really leery because they don't want to just hire somebody that they don't know their work. And then, you know, put their other third clients at risk too, or their jobs.
Yes, sir.
So after they see that we, you know, are successful and that we're legit, then they finally gave us a chance and we do all their stuff now.
Okay, so they had to know what kind of work you guys were putting in with other people before they were finally confirmed and agreed to team up with you guys?
Yeah.
That's tough.
CRFT, it's kind of like the old adage of you have to have the experience to get the experience. I mean, you know, like you go to apply for a job and he's like, well, you have to, you know, have like 2 years of experience already. It's like, well, if I had the 2 years experience, I wouldn't need this job. I would need this job to get the experience. I mean, you know, it's like everybody wants you to have experience already, but it's like, well, you got to give us experience to get experience.
So, yes, sir.
Yeah, that's true. Was tough. But then another company out of Eagle, they gave us a shot right off. They said, you know, we'll give you a shot. And we did a lot of work with them. We still work with them. They've split up and we do work for both of them still. Pretty much we have most of our original clients we still work with.
No.
And that's really good because it's just all a lot of repeated clients that we work with all the time. I think we have a good reputation. We always just try to be equitable and honest and fair with everybody, you know, because that's just how you have to be in business. That we're not out to put one over on anybody or to cheat anybody or, you know, anything. And we're always going to be legit. And if we say a contract and is going to be this much and it goes over, then we eat the cost because that's, you know, we can't just go back on people and say, oh, well, sorry, we overestimated or, you know, if we run into something that's unforeseeable and it's, you know, understandable on everybody's end, then that's one thing. But if you just, you know, you just have to be fair with everything you do.
Yes, sir.
And I think life treats you good if you're, you know, live that way, right?
That's facts. Now, what other barriers did you have to face?
Well, it's, I mean, time consuming. So barriers with family life too. At first, I mean, sometimes it can be really time consuming. I mean, there's some weeks I would put in 80-hour weeks, you know, just really working hard day and night, trying to get through projects and stuff. And financial, you know, it was when the economy crashed. It was really tough because we'd built up the company and then we had laid off everybody, had to sell a bunch of equipment and trucks and everything to make it through without going under. But we didn't have a lot of debt. We always tried to stay out of a lot of debt so we don't have huge overhead, just pay for things as we go. And so that helped us survive the crash, but it was still just back to me and my partner. And there was several months where we didn't even have an income. We're just trying to make our payments because we had some pretty hefty equipment. We did have one payment that we had to make that was like $3,000 a month for this one piece of equipment.
Yes, sir.
That we had really gone out on a limb to get. But we didn't want to default on that. So we did everything we could to not default. And we never did default on it. We were able to make those payments and get through the recession. And then basically start from scratch again, building back up. But by that time, it was nice because we already had a clientele base and people knew us and stuff. And so it wasn't as hard to build back up once the economy was good and everybody's working again.
Yes, sir.
Then work started flowing in again. It wasn't because we were just, you know, nobody knew us.
Mm-hmm.
So
now, how were you? How were you able to set up these meetings with your clients before you even got to you know, before you even got the job to work with them.
Yeah. Like, we built a list out of the phone book. Well, we did. Yeah. Just the phone book, the Yellow Pages. You didn't have like Google really. 2004. Right. You didn't like Google anything hardly. So we just go through the phone book and just made lists of people and just called everybody we could think of. And it was weird because we thought initially our client base would be more working directly with developers and, we do work with civil engineers, but we don't work directly with the developers. We work with the civil engineering companies that then the developers work with them and we sub to them. I mean, our client base was a little bit different than we thought it was going to be, but you know, we'd cold call everybody, would take people to lunch all the time. Like, hey, can we meet you, buy you lunch and give you a presentation about our company, who we are, and just give us a shot. Sometimes we'd say, let us do this job for free just to show you what kind of work we do.
Yes, sir.
And then if you're happy, then continue to give us work or whatever. Or we'd say, if you don't like it, then don't pay us. You know, if it's not the product you want, then that's fine. Don't pay us for it and we'll be on our way. Just give us a shot. We're just doing whatever we could to get people to go with us. And we had, you know, business cards made up and tried to look as legit as we could. Because it's starting out from scratch, you don't know anything. I mean, even drawing up our first survey, we've got our first job, it was from some friends in the neighborhood that knew us and needed a property boundary adjustment because their neighbor was on their property and they needed to make an agreement with their neighbor to adjust the boundary of their property.
Yes, sir.
So that's when you call a surveyor to do that too. So we did that work for them, and then trying to draft that up and record it, I mean, just I had nobody to ask questions to because I was on my own then.
Yes, sir.
You know, I didn't have a boss above me to say, hey, is this right or is it wrong? It was just me at that point, and that was a huge barrier to cross too. It's just, you know, gaining the confidence to, you know, feel like I was legit and not just, you know, trying to run a business, but a kid that didn't know what he was doing, or I do know what I'm doing. It's okay. I'm gonna be
Keep going.
I can make this decision, and it's gonna be okay. And it's, sometimes it's okay if you're wrong. I mean, you know, and that's a big barrier to be able to tell yourself too, because people don't like to ever be wrong, you know. Nobody ever likes to admit when they're wrong, but as a business owner, sometimes you're wrong, and you have to just suck it up and say, "Okay, I was wrong. I'm sorry. We'll make it right." And what can we do?
Right.
And that's hard because sometimes it's costly.
Because I was reading. See, when you say you have to admit that you're wrong, like it's a very great point. Because I was reading a book about like leadership and stuff, and it says, you know, great leaders, you know, they put the blame on themselves no matter what, even if it's, you know, if an employee makes a mistake, they put them blames on themselves first and try to figure out a way to make things better. And when you said that, it kind of like brought that memory from that book that I read. Yeah. And it's like, that really shows some leadership skills from you. And, you know, it's really true. Like, and so I respect that. What else, let's say 2004, now 2019, 15 years later, what made you and your company, first talk about you, like, push you to be this successful and also your company? Like, what is it that drives you guys?
What drives us to be successful?
Yes, sir.
Well, probably the fact that we just want to be always a viable company for people to make a difference in serving, and people to see it as a profession and a professional versus just a trade, or, you know, I don't know. I mean, just, it sounds cliche to just be the best you can be, you know, you want to always just be able to do a job and have a company that you can take pride in. And then, you know, people, when they're talking about your company, hopefully are saying good things, and they can always talk about you in a good way. And you have a good reputation with everybody.
Yes, sir.
What was the rest of your question?
Individually now.
Okay. Yeah, for me, I mean, it's important to be successful, to provide for the family, obviously, but
yes, sir,
also to be a good businessman that my family can always, you know, be proud of, I guess, too.
Yes,
and
sir,
be always look on anything I did, that there's not going to ever be anything that comes up in my history of businessman that they're going to be ashamed of. It's like, oh, I can't believe my dad did that, or he treated you that way,
yes,
or,
sir,
you know, he cheated you out of something or whatever. And I want the employees to always feel like they're part of a team. I mean, we're a family.
Yes,
we're not, you know, I don't want them to ever feel like you're just working for me. We're all a team. We're a family. And let's sometimes I spend more time with them than I do my own family.
Right.
So you have to be a good family. And I just always want to be that kind of person that, you know, that's building people up and not tearing them down. Yes, and that was one of the things that my old job that I just always felt like, I mean, they just, he was constantly tearing us down. It was just like, I don't want to be that way.
Yes, sir.
And I tell them all the time, it's like, I worked for a really crappy boss and you know, we always want to treat you guys good and, mm-hmm. you know, we're a team, so.
Yeah, that's really good. Because for me, what you talk about, you know, always being someone that builds up other people. And that's one thing that I take as a value in my life. Like, I just see many, you know, even friendships, you know, like if someone, even if it's, they're just joking around with someone and it's taking them down, some people will not admit what they're feeling.
Right.
And so they just accept that. And for me, I'm just like, nah, I'm not someone that's going to waste my time with that, because time is something I value. So why not get myself out of there and you know, surround myself with people who are positive and, like, you know, uplifting others. Because, you know, when you are around people who are only going to take you down, like, you know, it could be friends, family, and all that stuff. Like, it just, you have to know who you're surrounded by. And so to uplift others, it's like, it's something powerful. And so that's really deep right there.
Yeah.
And now, you mentioned that you had to pay $3,000 for, like, an equipment.
Yeah,
like
then, a month.
And when you gave up, you know, when you wanted to do it on your own, did you have a side job as well, or was it just?
Oh, just the surveying, which, I mean, you know, for my wife's part, to let us quit the good job we had.
Yes, sir.
And we took out home equity loans, both of us, just to have enough money to start the company and just to have enough faith, basically, in me that we would be able to make it. I mean, yes, that was a huge step for her, too, but. Yeah, we didn't have any side job or anything, so it was pretty much, it was make or break, you know.
Good risk, huh?
So that's a scary feeling, too, because lots of riding on it, so you had to work hard because you want to be successful, and so, yeah, it was hard. We lived off of the little bit of the home equity loan for a couple months, I think, but other than that, it worked out pretty well that after the first few months, we were able to start bringing home an income and, you know.
Yes, sir.
Slowly building from there.
And did you guys need to use, like, a place, or did you guys just did it from home or something?
No, we always had an office because we didn't ever like the surveying company out of the home idea.
That's smart.
For one thing, I couldn't ever work from home. I just have ADD and I can't, like, concentrate. If I was around too many distractions, like home life,
yes,
I would just always be up and out of my chair and doing other stuff and not getting my work done.
Yes, sir.
Or my wife would be saying, hey, can you run to the store? Different stuff. I mean, you know, just different things. So I have to separate that, or I just don't get stuff done.
Right.
And I think it looks like more of a legitimate business, too, to be out of an office space versus out of your home, you know, especially for this type of company. And there's lots of equipment that's involved and supplies. You got, like, a lot of wood, stakes, and lath and stuff, and rebar. I mean, to store it. I didn't want to have that in my garage or different stuff either. That's nice to have our own place that way. So I always liked our own place. We found a cheap place that was, I think, started out like $600 a month mm-hmm. for this place that we leased, and then they moved us to the other side, and it's still a pretty good lease since we're still there. It's the same place. Right now we're looking for a new place to try to buy just because we're running out of room. We're just really cramped. We're maxed out we're at. So it's another big step that we're trying to take.
Great.
Makes us even nervous, you know, still. It's like, yeah, that's a big chunk to take off. And if the economy takes a dive again, then we're stuck with, now we own a building and there's a lot to consider there too. But
yeah, so what with I guess with your business, you put in the, you talk about the economy a lot, you know, like, how risky is it with, you know, to do what you're doing?
Pretty much everything is driven from the economy and the construction industry, and that really taught us when everything crashed in 2009 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize how much of this economy really thrives on construction and growth. But when that stopped, when the housing market collapsed, it was like from 1 month we're just driving hard to the next month it's like they just turned off the faucet and everything just stopped.
Wow.
I mean, developments that are in the middle of, I mean, they have like the curb poured and just they need to put the asphalt down for the road, and they just took everybody off, and it was like years before they ever got back to it because all the developers just stopped. It's like they all just got scared and stopped everything, and then it was like,
so fear hits everyone.
Yeah, a couple of years because the housing market just collapsed. And so, and this economy, right here in Boise, in this valley, there's so much growth right now. And so the housing market is huge because they're just, you can't build them fast enough almost for all the people that are moving into the valley. This growth is just, it's almost unsustainable. And it scares us even now. I mean, you talk to anybody, it makes them nervous by it because they what happened in 2009, they just don't want to happen again. Everything just like gets a big bubble, like everything's too overpriced and everything just crashes and then everybody's left holding, you know, too far extended, and that's really tough. That's why we try to not get ourselves in too far out there or in debt or anything, because we don't want to, if stuff collapses, have this huge overhead that you have to take care of. And our main overhead is our salaries for us and our employees. We don't have any other debt besides, we have, I think, two or three truck payments. Other than that, all our equipment's paid for. We just buy as we go. We don't get leases on it. And survey equipment's pretty expensive. But we just buy it as we go instead of trying to get loans on it, because we just don't want to have that extra overhead.
Now, what are the trucks for?
The pickup trucks are, we put a topper on the back, and then we put all the survey equipment inside. Like, there's the tripods and all the stakes and lath and hammers and rebar and different tools that you need that, and level rods, which are like a measuring rod that we have to measure down into manholes with, and different things. So there's a lot of equipment, actually. And then we have ATVs that they use out in the field too, because that makes it way more efficient to be, when you're out on a construction site, they can load up the ATV and just haul that around instead of trying to carry everything, and then just zip around. It just makes it more efficient. And so it's nice. And it's nice for the employees. So it doesn't just, you're not just working them to death either. They have some way to carry everything around.
That's
right. Yeah. So it makes it nice. So there's, yeah, all that equipment. So we have four ATVs right now and three trucks that are out in the field. And then, you know, me and my partner have pickups too that we that the company owns.
So yes, sir.
That's a nice perk, I guess.
Now, aside from having to, you know, with the clients that you work with, you know, there's a payment involved. Mm-hmm. Do you ever get lunch with those people or any of that kind of stuff?
Yeah, there's still, there's a bigger engineering company in Boise. I started working with a project manager there on a few different projects, and we'd never really met. We just over the phone, and it's just right here in Boise. Wow. Everything's just over the phone and emails and just sending PDFs back and forth, or, you know, AutoCAD files. And he's finally just like, hey, let's meet up for lunch. We can at least meet each other and different stuff. So that was nice. Met up for lunch with him and different stuff. For the most part, unless it's like an older client or somebody that we used to work with or different stuff, we'll meet up for lunch just as friends to just reconnect.
Yes, sir.
But you don't do a whole lot of lunch dates to just try to get work anymore, because we just don't have to do that right now, because it's just so much work. So it's kind of nice, but you just don't ever want to lose sight of that either, because if stuff slows down, then you have to start marketing again, which that's the worst part for me is marketing. I hate marketing, and I hate having the employee part of it is hard, and I just hate when you have to, we've had to lay people off before, and I hate that, because it's just so hard, because it's these guys' life too that now I'm responsible for, not just my own.
Yes, sir.
It's like all these guys, and so if someone's not working out or different stuff, and it's really hard for me to say, yeah, sorry, you're going to have to go, or when the economy crashed, we had to fire people because there's no work.
Yes, sir.
That was hard, because it's these guys, I mean, you know, they have families and stuff too, and you just can't keep them forever. There's no money to pay them anymore, no work. That's tough.
When you say marketing, how do you guys do your marketing now?
I don't know. I mean, we have a nice website, so people call us from the internet website or different stuff, or we've made up flyers at different times to market. Like when we're still one of the only companies in the Valley that has technology called 3D scanning for surveying, which is a huge deal, but still the technology really hasn't caught up in this area for like the engineering companies and stuff, because they don't want to pay. It's a huge, expensive software to run it. So we have the capability, but a lot of the engineering companies don't have the same capability to utilize the scan.
Yes, sir.
So they still just like us to do it the old way, I guess. But we made up flyers about the 3D scanning and stuff, and put together even PowerPoint presentations and go around and give it to them. But we haven't done the PowerPoint for a long time. Mainly it's just word of mouth, basically, which has been kind of nice. We'll have people call up all the time, either from the website, or they email us from the website, or just call us and say, hey, so-and-so referred us to you guys. Are you interested in this project? That kind of stuff. So
that is awesome.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Nice. So it's nice to, we don't have to put a whole lot into marketing right now.
No, that's really good. Now, back to, retract to 2004, where, you know, you're getting prepared for this mission. Now, when you felt like, let's say, you said that it was hard to get clients at first. Mm-hmm. Did you ever feel like giving up?
don't know if I ever felt like giving up, because I never really wanted to ever go back to being an employee, you know?
Yes, sir.
It was really rewarding for me to just have my own company and just not be an employee anymore.
Yes, sir.
And I don't know why it is more rewarding, because it's a lot more work. It really is. I mean, it would be nice to have an 8-to-5 job sometime where you just punch in and punch out and just, you know, don't care. But it's just, it is more rewarding. I mean, it's, you just still have a lot more freedom when you have your own company, even though basically every client you have is your boss. Instead of having a boss you're working for, every client basically is your boss you're trying to satisfy all the time and work hard for them and stuff. But it's still more rewarding to do that than just have a boss that you work hard for and it never appreciates it or never even says good job.
Indeed.
Or thanks for working late or any of that. It's just, yeah, we have a client we do a good job for and, you know, they're happy for us and they're, you know, very complimentary and they give us more work and we know we're appreciated. So,
yes, sir. That is awesome.
Yeah, that's more rewarding. It was scary. I guess we've had people approach us of trying to merge, and I've considered that before, like merge with a civil engineering company or different stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And when the economy collapsed too, I guess I kind of felt like maybe things weren't going to work out and I was going to have to go back to school or just, you know, maybe a different career.
Yes, sir.
Which I considered, I mean, who knows,
really?
Dentistry or something totally different, but I never had to go that far, but never really ever came home from work thinking, yeah, we just need to quit. So I guess that's good.
Because one thing about engineering is that everybody says it's always high in demand. And mm-hmm. now when you bring in the economy collapsing and stuff, does that affect that?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of civil engineers and different stuff that were out of work and stuff because of that too. And a lot of guys had really high paid positions and laid off and just taking like technician positions because they just couldn't find anything. And so it was tough on, yeah, anybody that's involved in any part of the construction industry was really affected.
Yes, sir. Wow.
For sure. But yeah, civil engineering is a good job for real for right now. I think it's in pretty good demand, or structural engineering or mechanical or, yeah, I don't know.
I looked into
chemical.
Those. I've looked into those, but I just, like, I'm good at math, but I don't think it'd be my passion. Like, I wouldn't spend time doing things like that. I don't know. I'm more of I like to interact with people.
Yeah.
And social and you know, education is one thing that I guess I'm going to rely on that. Other than that, I'm going to look into like business stuff, opportunities and stuff, which is pretty, you know, from the experience I hear from other people, it's scary, you know, it's scary because I've been trying to do like basketball stuff.
Yeah.
And I've been failing and it's like, I'm just going to keep trying because like I know what I'm, you know, capable of on the, like with training people, but it's just, I'm going in Twin Falls, a new city, so it's like I have to restart, like find new people and stuff.
Yeah,
which is,
and it's small town too. Still.
Yeah, it's challenging and it's growing though.
Yeah.
However, you know, I talked to a business owner and he does his business is some trucking, and he's had multiple businesses and it was very awesome to hear his story. But he said that it's really needed in Twin Falls for like, because I want to do like a travel team and all this other stuff. So
yeah.
It's just, I don't think I could do it alone. Like I've been trying and it's just, I'm not doing great enough. Like I've had some ups and I've also had some downs. So I'm like, if I have a team, maybe it'd be a little more easier so I don't have to do every single thing. Like, you know, it'd still be a lot of work for me, but if I get a team, it's simple. It makes it more simple.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm going to do. And
it's always good with a team or a partner or something to see different perspectives and stuff, because sometimes, like, my partner will see stuff that I'm not even thinking of.
Yes, sir.
And he'll say, oh, okay, and we'll have to go a different direction. Or,
right.
It's just, so helpful, because there's just different strengths that he has that I don't have and vice versa. And so, that is nice.
Yeah.
But we have other civil engineers that we work with there's one that we work with still now that he broke off from his company about the same time we did, and he's still just always been by himself. He just loves just being on his own and doing his own thing. And I mean, he puts in some crazy hours, and I don't know how he puts out the work he does all by himself, but he keeps up with some of these bigger firms. But he's just really efficient with what he does. He knows the programs and everything, and he can crank out, you know, construction plans and drawings and all these different stuff the same as these bigger firms, and it's just him by himself. And then he'll be gone for like a week in Hawaii with his family or whatever. I mean, you know, so he doesn't want to have employees because it takes away some of the freedom, and it does, you know, with partners or different stuff, it does take away some freedoms because you have somebody else that you have to make decisions with and different stuff too. But yeah, it's been, I don't think I would want to do it on my own. It's just, yeah, that's tough.
Yeah.
No, I think you've got a good vision and you've got a good mind. And that's the thing, is just, you got to find what works and find your passion. I mean, I didn't ever start out surveying being my passion. I mean, you know, I just kind of fell into it and I had to kind of make it my passion. But if I had to start from, you know, where you're at right now, I would do just what you're doing. Just find your passion and just keep doing whatever you can and make that, you know, your reality, because that's what you love and you're going to always enjoy it if you're doing what you love. I mean, you do.
Yes, sir. Like 2 years ago, I asked the question, can you do something, or can you make something that you have no passion for into something you become passionate about? Mm-hmm. And you just answered that question. Because I asked someone this and they had a hard time answering it. And I was like, you know what, I'll find that answer. Because, you know, like I said, before I was looking into engineering and stuff, because, you know, my coach is like, he's a manager at Micron. He said, just go into engineering, I can hire you. And I was like, I looked into it, but then I was like, you know, I don't think it'd be my passion.
Right.
But the money's out there. So I was like, maybe, you know. And I asked, hey, do you think I could, would it be possible if something I don't have a passionate about, could I transition that into something I was passionate about? And I guess... Like you said, you can, like, just like you didn't have no passion about with surveying, and now it's like
First summer I worked between semesters and working for the Bureau of Reclamation as a surveyor.
Yes, sir.
And after that summer, I told my wife, "There's no way I'm going to be a surveyor. I hate it. I will never do this for a living." And here I am, 15, 16 years later, my own company and doing surveying, and I am passionate about it. Probably not as much as I should be with surveying, and try to, you know, because I haven't tried to get my boys into it, because it's a tough gig. It really is. And I want them to go after stuff that they will want to do and be, you know, successful. I don't want to push it on them. And I don't want them to have the same kind of struggles that you have as a surveying company, I guess. I don't know why I haven't pushed them into it. But you can always, you know, influence others and help others in any kind of position that you have anywhere, really. Yes, sir. I mean, you lead a team at Micron, you can still be motivational for them and you'll succeed because of your personality. You're just such a good person with helping others and caring for others and different stuff, and you'll be rewarded whatever you do. So you can find those, you know, find your passion and all those type of things. I think you just have to, just find where you can be most influential wherever you're at,
and
that's what your passion is, right? It's just doing good and helping build up others and make them the best that they can be too. I mean, that's what I see with you, in you.
Yes, sir.
With your motivational speaking or with the basketball or different stuff, is you're trying to help all these kids reach their potential and see themselves in a better way and build them up so they can become successful and good kids and good for the, you know, the community too. I mean, that's awesome.
Thank you.
You got a good heart. And education, I mean, that's what you're doing with education. I mean, why would you go for education, right? Because you want to help and influence these kids and bring them up in a good environment. Because, some kids just have a really horrible environment that they live in and grow up in.
Definitely.
And that's tough. And you could be a huge positive influence for that. Yeah.
That's a goal, because, you know, I've worked multiple jobs with people at community center and other places, and I learned about some kids who told personal stories, and I was like, wow, it's really changed the way I perceive things. And, you know, before you judge those kids with how they interact with others, you have to understand what their life is about. And
I know,
and some people, you know, like, and so before I kept myself as an employee, I was a friend of those kids, so I wasn't just someone that was working there. I was like, no, I'm friends with you guys, and they were able to open up to me and tell me all these things that I was like, whoa, like, it blew my mind, and I was like, I have to find a way to help these kids.
Yeah.
So that's what motivates me to get into education and all this other stuff. And because, you know, I in basketball coaching myself, like with the high school I coach, there are some kids that struggle in many daily things, and it's like, not everyone can see that, but I see it, because I know I've had enough experience with working with people that you know when someone's actually having a rough day, and they can just tell you, hey, I'm doing good or something like that. So.
Yeah, and that might be the only positive interaction they have for the whole day, is coming to work with you at basketball that day. I mean,
sir.
You know, and that's awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That was a great interview. Thank you.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. Oh, it's great to see you. I've never had anybody interview me before.
Really?
Yeah.
No. It's good to learn, because I guess business is something I'm interested in, and it's like, you know, I communicate with a lot of people of ideas and stuff, and just to see what would be best, especially because I want to be very have variety and not just be someone that's complete, like, dominant at one thing, but have different ideas and mindsets and just be able to dominate the game in many different areas, you know. So because that will give me a better life experience and like more things to learn, because what I want to be. I'm a learner, and I like to learn about different things and being able to develop my mind, and just, you know, where I'm weak at, I can strengthen myself. So that's why I want to do these kind of things, and interviewing people and learning from them.
I mean, that's awesome. I mean, how many kids your age are like that, that actually go out and, I mean, you know, are hungry for that knowledge and just do what they need to do to get to the next step? I mean, you know, most kids your age, even still in college in the summer, are probably sitting home playing Minecraft or different stuff. I mean, you know, they're just not thinking about the bigger picture like you are, and that's awesome.
Yes, sir. And it's hard because, you know, with our generation, I think we've become lazy, you know. You know, we got devices. I'm not going to lie. Like, today, you know, I hung out with my little brothers. We went, got some shots up. I took a nap, and I was on my phone for a while, and then I was like, you know, I know that I interacted with you yesterday, because this was like a last-minute thing. I was like, hey, I was thinking about you at a, you know, I think 2 days ago I was at a party, like a barbecue with a professor that I'm living with, and he was like, and I was like, I think the Hansons are, you know, I remember thinking about business. I was like, oh, I know someone in Boise, because I was coming down to Boise. So I was like, oh, let me, like, try to see if he's free this weekend. And that's what I did. And I was like, this is the kind of things I think it's going to make me push to the next level. Like, I got this microphone not too long ago, and I was like, hey, I want to do these kind of things, like start podcasts, because I know I really like to interview people at the beginning, you know, during my semester when I was in business courses. And my professor, she was a professor for most of my classes. That was my first time. So I switched majors. My first year, I guess I was in liberal arts, right?
Okay.
And I had a really bad GPA my first year. And it was like, it was...
Because it wasn't really something you liked as much?
Not even that. I went into college. I was at a low point in life. Yeah. When I went, like, you know, I think I've told you my history, you know, with my family and stuff.
Yeah.
So before going into college, I wasn't prepared. But the second year, you know, this year, I went back. I was like, you know, there's something that pushed me to go back. And I was like, let me try it again. And my GPA was very low, and it raised up pretty high. And she's like, nobody has ever done that. Like, nobody. And that is something I take pride of. Like, not in an arrogant way, but just because I feel proud of myself. Because she's like, most kids have dropped. Every person that put themselves there has dropped out. And I was like, I was someone that, like, decided, hey, I needed to change this. And just got out there, went from a 2.2 GPA to like a 3. Something.
Nice.
And it was something I felt proud of. And I was like, hey, she had me do some things because I wanted to get, like, extra credit. So I'm trying to be in the honors program, and I've interacted with the honors professor, and now I'm getting there. And so what she had me do was do extra things, and these interviewing things was something extra that nobody in the class did. And I really liked it. And I was like, I want to do this more and more. And I want to do podcasts and, you know, interact with people who are, like, just whatever what they have passion for and what made them get to that level and stuff. And these questions, you know, before it was like, it was something I had to read off of a paper and have to write down. Now it's just questions that I have from my heart.
Really good, you have really good questions.
Thank you.
Those are really deep, introspective questions.
Thank you.
I'm impressed.
Yes, sir. And so, yeah, that kind of was like, that's what I want to do every time I come in this area, Boise or in Twin Falls. Although I don't know much people there, I'm going to try to get out there. Like you said, clients, and one thing I have an idea of to do down there is, like, just work with businesses, social media marketing, and that's what I'm going to try to do. And, the first step is to meet with someone and talk to them. And I've had friends here in Boise that had an idea of that, and they're afraid of that stuff. And I've realized you can't be afraid. You have to just go out there because, you know, just like how you started, you struggled a bit, and many people have struggled. A lot of people who've been in the business have struggled, and so I realized that, hey, like, from my point of view, I know when I did my basketball, you know, my clinics, I failed. And I'm like, you know what, this might be something I might fail, but I gotta you know, push myself and keep going at it. Yeah. So I'm going to try different things, and whatever, you know, wherever life takes me, it's where I'm going to look at and be thankful for. So
yeah, that's
thank
awesome.
You for taking the time.
Yeah, of course. You know? Yeah. Anytime.
Yes, sir.
It's really good to see you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
You act more mature every 2 years since. Yeah.
Really?
For sure.